Okay, good Voch, and welcome to the beginning. I hope, you know, Kol HaScholes Koshes. I heard from an Adam Godel once that if Chazal say Kol HaScholes Koshes, if it's not coming with difficulty, it's a simon, it's not the HaSchola, it's the end. So I'm hoping that this is the HaSchola, maybe coming with a little bit of difficulty, and Be'ez Hashem, I hope we'll be able to continue. The idea here that was conceived was, we are calling it Zoom In on Chinuch. You know, since the corona situation, plague, Zoom became something that was somewhat unknown until then. It became a very popular medium of communication. I find myself on it every night of the week, except Mitzvah Shabbos, and now here I am with Mitzvah Shabbos doing the same thing. So I thought that it would be a way of opening up a forum for mechanchim who to discuss some of the basic issues in chinuch. And however, the slant and the emphasis is not chinuch in completely in all of its aspects. There's much out there that deals with the techniques and the classroom management and discipline and lesson preparation and using of smart boards and speaking and many other areas which are traditionally dealt with in whatever level of training we have available. But one of the things that we've noticed over the years, and especially in dealing with so many of the problems and challenges that arise during and after the yeshiva education, and unfortunately more and more are coming out these days, even people who have married and have families and yet start to drift later on in life, we realize that not enough emphasis has been placed on reaching the students. I like to say it's not about preaching, it's not even about teaching, it's about reaching. And the emphasis of this forum would be in skills, techniques, ideas, strategies, insights in enhancing our ability to reach our Talmidim with a lasting and a passionate, or a passionate and a lasting commitment to Yiddishkeit that will carry them through the rest of their lives and be passed on to their families and children and future generations. So that's the emphasis that we wish to put on those issues. And therefore, we'll discuss many different goals in chinuch in terms of reaching our students, and many different methods and tools that might be helpful in this, and hopefully a very broad range. And there's so much that's available today. There's so many ideas out there. There's so many strategies, and trying to bring them together so that mechanchim who are interested, you know, in, I guess it's begeder mikol malamda hiskalti. You know, some of the smartest people around are always looking for something to learn from someone else. So we're hoping that we'll have what to present here. And in the ongoing, hopefully this forum will continue, we'll be able to deal with a lot of issues in chinuch. Just in terms of technical things, this will be posted, right? When we finish at about 11 o'clock, it will be posted on the Priority One website. That's for the benefit of those who are interested and missed it, for the benefit of those who want to replace something, and for the benefit of those in other time zones where this was also going to become advertised. And the information is priority-numeral1.org/topics/teacher-resources. And under there, there will be the repeats of this, and there's also many other resources that are available. There's a flyer here which also indicates that besides just the Zoom, for those that don't use Zoom, there's a phone number where they will be able to access this forum. I'm also thankful to the encouragement of the VAD that we have put together. Rav Ruvin Feinstein Shlita, Rav Sholom Kamenetsky Shlita, Rav Aaron Lopiansky Shlita. I must say that this type of training, reaching the students, understanding the nisyonis that they're going through today, and trying to constantly develop and expand the means of reaching them with that commitment that will last, with those insights and the emotional and the intellectual connection which will keep them in line. This originally was conceived in a meeting, maybe 15, maybe closer, maybe 18 years ago, I'm not sure, maybe around 15 years ago, with Rabbi Eliashiv, Zichr Tzadik Livrocha. We spent a long time with him. There was an hour before Shabbos where he was available with nobody interfering, with nobody bothering him. And we spent a long time discussing this. And interesting, this is agav, but when I told him that the problems of yeshiva graduates or yeshiva students drifting from Yiddishkeit appears and is to be found in the shenste mishpochos, in the finest mishpochos. And the moment I said to him, the shenste mishpochos, he says, l'may nafkamina. Like it didn't interest him where the Jew was coming from. If there's a Jew in trouble, then that's our responsibility to do whatever we can. And his words were that it's poshut uborur, that we should be training ourselves and developing in ourselves every means possible to be able to better reach our students today in the context of all of the distractions and opposition and confusion that they have. And he called it Isan Inyan from Pikuach Nefesh. He says, this is an Inyan of Pikuach Nefesh. So we hope that this forum will be able to address some of these issues and hopefully add something to the great successes of the yeshiva movement, and hopefully enhance that and reach better those that are maybe being reached, and reach those that are not necessarily being reached with this sense of commitment that will last. I thought we'd begin with a definition of chinuch. Rashi actually defines chinuch in Chumash on the posuk in Lech Lecha Vayorek as chanichov, and the essence of Rashi's definition is, you can check the words there, Tchilas Knisas Odom Leumnis Sheosid Lamodboy, the beginning of the entry of a person to an umnis, a profession, a trade, the way he's going to, what he's going to do in his life, Sheosid Lamodboy. And I think there are some very significant words in this definition. I think Tchilas Knisas is a very strange concept. It's the beginning of the entry. What is the beginning of the entry? It's not the entry. Mechinuch is not entering him into the umnis. It's just the beginning of the entry. What I think that may mean, I think it does mean, in fact, is that the chinuch process is the beginning. The entry he's going to have to do himself. And our responsibility is to give him the tools and the inspiration and the information and the commitment and the desire and the passion to be able to take this tchila and actually lead himself into the umnis she'osid lamodboy. So it really, a lot of chinuch depends upon giving them tools, giving them the inspiration, giving them what they need in order for them to be able to reach this level of knisa le'umne she'osid lamodboy. That's number one. But secondly, le'umne she'osid lamodboy. It's very tempting in chinuch to look at the present, to evaluate our success by the demonstrations of the moment, and not to to lose sight sometimes of it's a long-term game. If there are short-term gains that are going to be a derech tzor she'aruko, then that's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for, right now I got it, but I'm not sure it's going to last. I'd rather not have it completely, but see it on the road to a lasting experience. I think this is very, very critical. I'm not sure, but for a moment, I think I noticed someone who's with us right now. I'm not positive, but it was a very brief picture for a split second. And it brought back a memory. I remember in the early days of our work in Los Angeles, it was a rough bunch to begin with in those days, many, many years ago. And there was one student who was, the way he was davening was like far better than everybody else. My mamish like intense and long and you know, and it really looked beautiful. And the other mechanech who was with me pointed out to me, says, look at that. You know, with a sort of a sense of accomplishment and nachas after the first 4 or 5 months that we had been there. And my response was, he's the only one I'm worried about, because it was too much, too fast, and it really didn't stick. As far as I know, to this day, it hasn't stuck. So we do have to think in terms of long-term. So it's giving them the tools and the inspiration and whatever they need to be able to enter that umness and remain there long-term. I think that's a good working definition of chinuch. What should be some of our goals? You know, goals are very important. If we know that there's a long-term look, and well, what are the goals? What are we actually looking to accomplish in terms of reaching them? With what do we want to reach them? What are the goals that we want to achieve so that we can be confident that it will be an umnes she'osid lamodem? And here, there are many, and I guess too many of anything, too many goals are become less and less practical. But I think a few that we could point out could be very, very beneficial. Number one, I the order maybe is lav dafka, and maybe it's debatable, but I think the concepts are worthwhile. Number one, to me, happiness is a critical, critical ingredient of success of in anything in life, certainly of success in a life of Torah and mitzvahs, in a life of Avodas Hashem, in a life that's dedicated to growing spiritually and remaining on board in this umness. Happiness is a very, very strange state of being, because, you know, we live in a world where so much money is spent on pursuit of happiness. So much effort is spent on pursuit of happiness. More money, time, effort, seminars, books, you have it, are there about pursuit of happiness. And yet, if you judge by any of the standards, by any of the rates, by any of the statistics, the world doesn't seem to be a very happy place. And I often wondered, like, why not? Why is there such a disparity between so much effort and minimal accomplishment on many levels? And I think the answer is very simple. If we don't know what we're looking for, it's very hard to achieve it. So we need a definition of happiness. And I think that that definition of happiness, I'm not sure what this is saying to me. I'm not sure what this means. Can someone let me know if you can hear me? Because I get some notification here that I'm not sure what that is.
We can hear you fine.
Okay, so I'll just...
I can hear you. Your video is just not on.
Oh, my video is not on. Oh, so...
Yeah.
Now is that better? Okay. So
yeah, now it's
maybe you're better off without the video. Anyway, so happiness. We need a definition of happiness if that's a major goal. And happiness, we're talking about happiness in life, happiness in one's personal life, and happiness in a life of Torah and mitzvahs, and appreciating the connection of between Torah and mitzvahs and my happiness, basically as a source of my happiness. So we need a definition for happiness. The David HaMelech said, "Achas shu'alti b'yeis Hashem o'iso avakesh, shivti b'beis Hashem kol yimei chayai." David HaMelech had one wish, to sit b'beis Hashem. That sounds like maybe the highest level of happiness. And David HaMelech told us, "Ashrei yoshvei beisecho." Happy is a person who sits in the house of Hashem. So Usher may be the highest, or one of the highest, or maybe even the highest form of human happiness. The sheirish of the word in Lashon Kodesh is always indicative of the meaning. In the sheirish lies the meaning. They're not just arbitrary words. It's very probable that the sheirish is ishur, validation. Happiness is about validation, about feeling good about myself. that brings happiness. If a person who feels good about himself doesn't really need much else, whatever it is, I can handle it. I feel good about myself. Person who doesn't feel good about himself, give him all the pleasures, give him all the money, give him all the everything in the world. I don't feel good about myself. I'm miserable. I can't be happy. So that's the definition of happiness, validation. Very important. They have to feel this sense of validation of happiness in Torah mitzvahs. What do you need for validation? Well, one of the things you need for validation is a sense of purpose. Because if a person doesn't have a sense of purpose, if someone walks into a therapist's office and says to him, "Doc, I got no purpose in living," I would recommend to this therapist that he put him on a suicide watch. Because without purpose, what do we need it for? And the sense of purpose can only truly be found in the true purpose for which I was created. If I have a piece of technology, and let's say it's a piece of technology that could be very useful, and if I think it's useful just to scratch my head, then I'm really missing the point. I have to know what it was created for. That's the best use. That's the maximum use. That's the proper use. And the only way to know what it's created for is look at the manual, or today, look online. And therefore, Torah and mitzvahs is in fact the purpose for which we were created and can in fact give us that sense of purpose and bring us that true sense of happiness. So the happiness must be predominant in our goals in chinuch. Also, the more a person realizes the potential that he has for human greatness, the more he can feel good about himself. The more love we show our students, the more they can feel validated. Why do you love me? Oh, you love me because Sapuna says the definition of love is sheyismach ha'oyeh b'malas ane'av. You rejoice in his quality. Oh, I must have quality. Respect can go a long way in engendering happiness in our students. Sometimes we forget the Rambam at the end of Perek Hey in Hilchas Talmud Torah says, "Kishem sheha talmid chayiv lechaberes orav." Same way, tzorich, not chayev, but tzorich. Because if not, you're not going to have a Talmud. Respect. Respect his time. Respect his space. Respect his person. Respect his feelings. These things engender a sense of, wow, I must be worth something. I must be choshev. Friendship, connection, relationship. So anyway, a major, major goal is to create in the Talmud a sense of happiness, of validity, validation in a life of Torah mitzvahs. If the Rebbe, if the teacher is responsible for enhancing that sense of validation, we become the most important person in that student's life. And we have an amazing amount of hashpah that we can have on them due to the fact that we are a source of their happiness. So I think that's a very important beginning. One of the things that have confused people today, when we hear a lot about people going off the derech, people not believing, people being confused, emuna, yes, no, what do I know? What do I know? What do I don't know? What do I believe? What do I don't believe? One of the things that that pose a problem today is that in order for a person to even be interested in believing or figuring out if something is true or not, or understanding the basis for which I should do or live my life in a certain way, the first principle involved is it going to enhance the quality of my life? Is it going to make me happy? Is it good for me? People are not concerned about truth before they really know that this truth is going to enhance the quality of my life. It's going to make me feel good. It's going to benefit me. We need benefits even before we can begin to seriously entertain the basics of whether Torah Sinai is the reality of my existence. And I think this point is sometimes not emphasized enough. The Sefer HaChinuch, we know, He wrote the book for his bar mitzvah bocher, and he writes there in the mitzvah in Parshas Vayikra called Sur v'chol Dvash Isaktiro Isha Lashem. So he writes over there. He says that I was afraid that I didn't really know the tam why you can't bring Sur and Dvash on the mizbeach, and he says I was afraid to leave it because I was afraid that if I don't give tam v'toeles for all the mitzvahs, then my son and his friends will think the Torah is like a sefer chosum, it's a closed book. And then he says, pen yivatu bohem mikol kach ben arusam v'yanichem le'olam v'yeilcho lehevel. They'll rebel against the mitzvahs, forsake them forever, and join the foolishness of the world. Seems a little bit strange. This is talking about 500 years ago in the house of a rishon, but besides that, he gave tam v'toeles on every mitzvah. One mitzvah, he's afraid, I better give something because otherwise my kid could go off the derech. And it wasn't even a mitzvah, that's Megillah Maisa, because there was no Beis HaMikdash there. So he had tam v'toeles for everything. It wasn't Megillah Maisa. It's not like every day he's going to be frustrated. And yet he's afraid it'll be a sefer chosam. Something's missing. Maybe it's an excuse to go off, I don't know. But he was afraid not to write some tam v'toeles, unless he's afraid that the results could be devastating. So we see that tam v'toeles is critical. The Ralbag says in the Toelius in Parshas Lech Lecho that when Hashem told Avram Avinu about the Bris Milah, he didn't tell him that there was a knife involved. Before he told him what he's going to do, before he says, enter into a Bris, you're going to have Deiris, you're going to have Eretz Yisrael, and only after he knew what benefits he would have, did he tell him that there's an operation involved. And it seems that that order, telling him first the benefits, and then that there was something, he says, the Ralbag says, that's the way to convince someone to do something that's bitzar umuzar, painful and strange. It was strange at the time, nobody did it. It was certainly painful. And the only way to do that is first let him know of the benefits. And he says, the cheshek for the benefits will diminish the pain and the strangeness. So we see from so many places that this is so critical. Benefits, benefits, benefits. Especially in today's world, we live in such a selfish world. What's in it for me? People don't want to hear, don't want to think. They won't pay attention. They won't focus. They won't even give it a fair chance to understand if this is my responsibility in life or not, unless they first have this sense of, it's going to be good for me. It's for my benefit. That's something else that I'm willing. So that should be a basic understanding. And for that, it really needs the goal to be of a general appreciation of a life of Torah and mitzvahs, and also the benefits from even specific mitzvahs, specific takonos chachomim, specific tefillos, whatever it may be, because everything that has a specific meaning, and I focus on the benefit, I have a much greater cheshek to perform it. And I would just suggest, but this is really more than just for the goals, let's not worry about, it's going to take away from the lishmo. Let's first mitoich shaloi lishmo bo lishmo, get them on that level, and then, you know, we'll worry about the lishmo. After we have emphasized the benefits, certainly Talmidim students have to know the Amithyas HaTorah. They have to know the truth of Maimon Har Sinai. They have to know what happened in Har Sinai. They have to understand it well. They have to be able to recognize that any other claims that anyone has are not credible at all, and certainly not when compared with what happened in Har Sinai. They have to understand that. They have to understand two aspects of it, the testimony that we have, the edus that's been passed down from generation to generation, and the evidence that exists in the Torah that no human being at the time could have known. These are very basic things that if our Talmidim understand them, then we're talking about a lasting commitment, because it's for my benefit. That may even evoke passion, but certainly commitment is for my benefit, and it's true. And the truth of the matter is, if I know that Torah Misinai is beneficial and true, I'm not going any place. If I think something is true, but it's not beneficial. So then I'll say, oh, you know, I'm not interested in hearing the truth. I don't, I'm sorry. I said, if I'm told that it's true and I don't see that it's beneficial, then I'll say, I don't know. I don't believe it. I don't listen. I close my ears. I'm not interested. It's not good for me. What do I need it for? And if I know that it's beneficial, but I don't know that it's true, so I might say, oh, this is very beneficial. This is very nice. But you know, it's not necessarily the truth. Maybe there's something else out there that's more beneficial. But if I know that a life of Torah Misinai is a life of benefit and happiness, and if I know that Torah Misinai is the ultimate reality, I'm not going anyplace. So those are certainly basic goals that we need, we should strive very, very diligently to accomplish in the process of chinuch. There are some massive basic misconceptions which also should be formulated as basic goals in chinuch in order to avoid these misconceptions. There's a lot of confusion for some reason, I've never got it straight, about whether we're doing for Hashem or Hashem is doing for us. Now, we know, of course, Hashem does for us, but the mitzvahs that we're doing for Him. He needs us, He wants benefit, He needs, I hear questions about why does He need so much praise, why does He need it through mitzvahs, why does He care? Well, you know, Chazal asked the same question. If you put on the tefillin or if you shecht from the front or from the back, this is the mitzvahs are only given to benefit us, to refine our character. Our students, our talmidim, must know that everything that we do was all given to us from Hashem, only for us, not for Him. He needs not our praises. In fact, I saw once in the name of the Goyim, I do admit that I haven't been able to find it for many, many years, but I saw once where he says, Okel ha-godol ha-gibro v'ha-neiro. His godol ba'an v'sonusoy, that he allows us to say gibro v'neiro. The gibro v'neiro, Chazal say, the gibro refers to that he's kevish his kas against the Goyim and lets them do to us such damage. And the neirois is that we still survive throughout. But those praises, we have no concept of what they mean. And he says, a moshel, that the king would walk into a room, the king of the whole country, the whole commonwealth of nations, and say, welcome, king of this little room. It's an insult. Any praise that we say to Hashem is an insult from the level of hasoga that we have in Gibor v'Neiro. But that's his chesed, because we grow from it. So praises are not from Hashem. Hashem needs not our praises. In fact, our praises may even be insulting, kaviyochol, if there is such a thing. But it's for our benefit. Everything is for our benefit. Oilom chesed yibonei, created the world only to do chesed. And it's for the purpose of helping us. And the more that we refine ourselves, the more we become capable of connecting to Him and worthy of connecting to Him, which is the ultimate tainug amiti, as the Sefer Shurim says. That whole inyan of appreciating that we do nothing for Him, He gains no benefits from anything, and it's all about what He wants to do for us, is a critical goal, I believe, in the process of chinuch. We mentioned, but I think it should be mentioned as a separate goal, that leinitno hamitzvahs, the lashon of the medrash in Parshas Lech Lecha, medrash rabo, el tzarif bohenes habriyos. The mitzvahs have one goal, to refine human character. Now, the refinement of human character is a very beautiful thing. First of all, in terms of happiness and validation, there's nothing like it. I'm godly. Ooh. Mahu rachum afato rachum. Kidoshim tihiyu yochol komoini, the Sifri says. You might think, mamish to be like Hashem. Talmud loymer ani Hashem elokeichem. Not quite. We have this sense of valid, oh, look who I am. I'm created b'tzelem elikim. I'm told to be just like Hashem. Ma'urachum, torachum, ma'uchanun, avatochanun, ma'urechapayim, so forth and so on. And all of the mitzvahs, everything was all given just to refine the character, to remove the impurities. It's very validating. It's very meaningful. And it's a realistic goal. When people refine their midos, they take a feel good about themselves. And if Torah is about refining my midos, and if mitzvahs are about refining my midos, in a general sense, there could be nothing more appealing, there could be nothing more logical, because it's to make me into the best human being I can possibly be made. I remember my first encounter with my Rebbe when I came to the Yeshiva of Penach Libowitz, Zichrono Livracha. So the first meeting that we had, he told me, he said, the Bali Musa, look at this world as a laboratory. Everybody's given certain raw materials. And our job, our mission, is to make the best possible human being that we can make from those raw materials. That's a goal. That should be a overriding goal. That the Tikkun HaMidos, they go in, they quote in Eben Shlomo, which is not an exact quote, but Imav Tikkun HaMidos, Lama Lichayim. Like, what's the point? That's the only point. Torah, mitzvahs is all Tikkun HaMidos, and something that is it makes so much sense, and it makes us feel so good about ourselves, and it's so the essence of what the Torah is. It certainly should be a very major goal that we should have. Let's talk for a moment about technical goals. Unfortunately, there's a lot of students today that, because they have not learned how to read, learned how to understand, how to analyze, how to think something through, and have mastered any text on their own, they're at a terrible loss. They're embarrassed, they're frustrated, and sometimes they give up. So skills in learning are an extremely important goal. They've discovered today, many have come up with that realization and conclusion, that kids don't know how to read. Some can't even daven for the omer, they can't read Ivra. But even if they can do that, they can't read a Chumash, they can't read a Gemara, they can't read a Rashi, they can certainly not read a Tosfos. And not only just the reading is terrible, tragic, but then the system, what's going on? Question, answer, what's happening over here? What's the point of the whole thing? Where is it coming from? Where is it going to? What is a Gemara? There many people, for some reason, they didn't get Hascholas Gemara, they didn't chap what was going on, or it wasn't explained to them, right? And they, just a lot of confusion. I talk back and forth, talk, what's it all about? And these skills are critical. And if we do not convey these skills, we really jeopardize our students' ability to be able to continue in a life of Torah and mitzvahs. I think there's another, it's a point that should be mentioned. I don't know if it's a goal or maybe more a means, but every student is different. And one of our goals in Chinuch, I guess, should be to recognize and deal with the individuality of each student. The famous Rashi, when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to pass on, and he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a successor, and he has four items in his short tefillah. And the first one is, V'yemim Moshe el Hashem, Yifkoid Hashem Elokei Horucha Yislechol Bosor, Ish Alo Edo. And Rashi seems to be bothered by this Loshen Elokei Horucha Yislechol Bosor. What is that? So Rashi says, the tefillah went, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Goliv Yodu Elefonecho, that each person is different. His days are all different. Appoint the leader, Sheyuchal Lizboil, Kol Echod Ve'echol Afi, to who can tolerate. It's easier to deal with everyone in one mold. Who can tolerate the individuality of each person. And this is not for a class of 25 or for a school of 500 or 1,000. This is for a klal yisrael of a few million nefashos. The first item on the short list of the requirement for leadership and mechanchim, our leaders, is the ability to tolerate each one according to his own individuality. Everybody needs something. Everybody has different needs. Everybody has different strengths. Everybody has different weaknesses. That's a problem, and that has to be discussed, and it needs a lot of chokhmah to be able to do it. But it certainly should be a goal to recognize and to attempt to deal with each individual as the individual that he is. I would like to mention one more goal, and then end this evening. And that is a relationship with Hashem based on emunah and bitochin. the concept of relationship with Hashem seems to have gotten lost someplace along the way. I'm not quite sure where, but it's like many people say in their chinuch, maybe today it's a little more, they haven't heard too much about that. And it's something that's so chaval, because that's the yesod. When Hillel came, when the goy came to Hillel, and he asked him to teach him the whole Torah regel achas, so he said, "Mada lochsani lechavroch loisavid." Say kol haTorah kulo. What does Rashi say there in the first pshat? Reyecha reyavich al tazik. The chavroch is Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That which to you is hateful, don't do to your friend, your ultimate friend, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You know the pain of a friend that disappoints you. Don't do that in your relationship with Hashem. Relationship with Hashem seems to be kol haTorah kulo. To maintain that, Masil Shasharim says that's the ultimate, the end result is Dveikus Bashem. And that relationship can be forged here. It extends forever. In fact, it's the longest lasting relationship. It starts in this world and it continues. My neshama continues that relationship. L'netzach nitzochim. But that has to be, they have to be introduced to that relationship. They have to feel it. They have to sense it. We have to model it. And these are some goals that I think that we could we should consider as some basic strokes in terms of the focus of our chinuch. I'd like to end at this point. I would like to encourage anyone who has additional important goals, anyone who has information or topics for discussion, to please get in contact. You know, with the priority1.org, info at priority1-numeral1.org, and we'll try to incorporate suggestions and informations and ideas in the presentation. We hope to try to meet Ezer Hashem every Matzoy Shabbos at 10:15 and to end before 11 o'clock. And we certainly appreciate those that have joined us. And if you feel that there's any merit for anyone here, please spread the word around. And Hashem should help that Yirotzein, Shetishra Shechino B'Maaseh Yodeinu, Gutvoch, and Kol Tov.